welcome to the 159th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. Welcome. And now I am an official ultra runner. Finished my Mendocino 50K this past Saturday. So a lot of the podcast, I'm going to talk about how that was, because there were a lot of things that I did not completely expect that happened. And so it was quite interesting. But the good news is, you know, spoiler alert, I did finish, so nothing horrible. When you live in Florida and you're traveling to Northern California, it doesn't get much of a longer plane ride to get to a favorite spot. But nevertheless, we picked the Mendocino 50K because we had visited the Stanford Inn, and I actually have had Jeff on this podcast of the Stanford Inn, as well as Sid Garza Hillsman, who is the race director of the 50K in the past. So you can check out those previous interviews, but the Stanford Inn is a wonderful, wonderful location. It's a vegan resort. Everything is vegan, animal friendly. Bring your dogs. And it's just a great place to visit. They have wonderful gardens that you can walk around in. Summertime, they've got blackberries and apples. This time of year, it's more of their vegetable garden that's in bloom. But they've got some llamas and some donkeys and some horses. And you can go canoeing and kayaking and, of course, hiking. They have cycling to do mountain biking. So there's a ton of things to do in that area if you like outdoors. And, you know, again, the best thing is you don't have to worry about what to eat because it is all plant-based. But it is a bit of a hike from Florida to Mendocino. We flew through Sacramento. We actually flew through Vegas and then Sacramento. In Las Vegas Airport, they have a payway, which we've hit on numerous occasions, and so you can get steamed vegetables and brown rice. And it was great, so good that I even thought about doing it for the class just to show how easy, if you're not really in the mood to cook much, how simple you can cook, you know, broccoli, snow peas, carrots, red peppers over, and some edamame over brown rice. Done deal. If you want to add a little soy sauce, you can. You know, their sauce is a little bit too much for me, the teriyaki and all that kind of stuff. You can put a hot pepper in, you can put mushrooms in. So it's really easy to make something like that. So that was great traveling food. Of course, we had our usual oats and blueberries in the airport in Tampa before we had an early flight out. And then we got into Sacramento and drove up to Napa, one of our favorite places up there. Shout out to Cliff Winery. It's one of my favorite locations to visit. And before we got there, we stopped at Dean and DeLuca, and he's like, what, chocolate? Dr. Delaney. But they have a great deli. So we got a kale salad, a quinoa salad, some mixed vegetables to take on the road for the next day because we were going to get into Mendocino late. And we stopped at an Ethiopian, we stopped at a Himalayan restaurant in St. Helena, which was very, very good. I think I posted some pictures online about that, but some vegetables and rice. So that was really, you know, really good. So again, a whole day of traveling, got our greens in, broccoli, cabbage, you know, kale, as long as other greens, brought fruit with us. We had bananas, blueberries, strawberries, stopped at the market there in St. Helena. Picked up some more fruit for the way in. So it's, you know, entirely doable. A long plane ride, you can, without much difficulty, you know, stay plant-based. May not eat exactly what you would eat if you were at home, but, you know, we did well with regards to, you know, not having any oil. And then the Stanford Inn has breakfast there. So they have, again, vegan pancakes, buckwheat cakes, oatmeal, fruit, French toast. They have some more calorie-dense breakfasts with a hollandaise sauce made out of cashews. But they have spinach, English muffin, mushrooms, tofu scramble. So, and then, of course, my favorite thing that they have is fresh squeezed carrot juice in the morning. And I guess it's fresh juiced. They didn't squeeze the carrots, but they did juice them. And that's really, really good. It's just thirst-quenching. So the next morning, or the first morning, we get up and took a little shakeout run and then came back in for breakfast. The trip from Napa, Calistoga area into Mendocino is not an easy one. It is windy. It's a beautiful drive through the redwoods and along the Pacific when you get closer into Mendocino, but it is a difficult drive. I mean, it is a curvy back switch road that requires two hands and a lot of concentration even at night, so it is not an easy place to get to no matter how you cut it. But again, the drive is worthwhile. The cottages all have fireplaces, and so it's a nice way to, you know, get in, light a fire. And the next morning, like I said, we went out, got up, and took a run along the beginning part of what would be the race course for the next day. And it starts out on the, you know, the sandy beach area the beginning of a logging road. Mendocino and the redwoods was discovered initially in the Fort Bragg area by basically there was a shipwreck, and the settlers saw the redwoods and saw that they could make a lot of money on the redwoods. It wasn't too good for the Indians, but it was the redwoods that drove the money in the area. And it's amazing, you know, way back when, what they were able to do with logging and putting the redwoods on the river and dragging them down. Because the river juts right out into the Pacific. So it's still a rocky, rough terrain along the Pacific there. Beautiful, but the tides are high and it's very windy, and the fog rolls in the morning. So I can't imagine being an early settler there, but they seem to make it work, and the redwoods are beautiful. And it's nice to, you know, kind of do a little, like I said, shakeout run along the redwoods. And we didn't do a whole lot afterwards. We got our packet pickup and walked around the gardens and really took it easy and tried to acclimate to California and the three-hour time difference most of Friday. So I knew this was a trail run, of course. I knew it was a 50K. I knew it was in the hills of Upper California, Northern California, in Mendocino. I've run part of the trails and hiked a little of the trail in the past, but, you know, maybe 4 or 5 miles. I've run along the coast. There was a description on the website for the race that you would have to use a rope to come down an area this year, that would come down into a creek, and then there was a creek crossing. And before, you used the rope to go up the hill after the creek crossing. And from the pictures on the website, it seemed like it was pretty short, you know, 10 yards. So we decided to go down there to see what that part of the course would look like. So, you know, we were trying to follow the map, and we had talked to the people at the check-in. And so we go down and park the car, and we saw these two ladies, and they said that their runners were down there checking it out. So we found some of the flags and went down this really steep hill to get to this creek that then you would climb up the rope, but nobody could see where that rope could possibly be. They hadn't put the rope out, and it seemed pretty steep, and we just really didn't know. You couldn't see from the riverbed how high up it was on the other side, and so, you know, it was kind of a goat path on the other side, but we, you know, wasn't sure. You know, it's like, ah, it couldn't be that way. So we kind of left it at that. And we actually talked to the people at the, you know, down at the sign and a little bit more. It's like, yeah, it'll be marked in the morning, and don't worry. And I was, that's probably one of the things that I was worried most, because I've, you know, read some, you know, trail running magazines and listened to some trail running podcasts and, you know, about people getting lost and getting off course and things, and watched a few documentaries. So I was really worried about getting off course and potentially getting lost. So I studied the map. The course map, and I actually, you know, wrote down on a little piece of paper, like the turns or what the, you know, the trail that you turned onto was called. So I had a little ledger that, you know, in my mind, I thought I could go back through and retrace my steps and find out where I was. And You know, so I kind of had a game plan to make myself feel better that I wasn't going to get lost or lost for long. And, you know, it's like, oh, it's, you know, it's really well marked with these little blue flags and everything will be okay. And it was. It was marked with these blue flags that, you know, were royal blue that, you know, don't look like the foliage but don't also stand out like neon flags. So you kind of had to watch for them. There wasn't a lot of turn. It was such a single-track trail that, you know, I mean, you could see where people ran. You could see where people, you know, the trail people ran on. But, you know, and it was so steep on either end that, you know, there was really nowhere to go. And it was kind of funny. They said, don't get off the trail because there's a fair amount of poison oak. Well, you know, I didn't really see where there was a place to get off of the trail for the most part. You know, it was so narrow. But anyway, so I you know, was running the trail. So the first thing, you know, starts out on a logging road for the first 7 miles, and then you go off into the single track trail and it starts to climb, and boy, did it ever climb. You know, climbing up a ski slope was what came to mind, that was with switchback and roots. And, you know, I was kind of following a few people and I watched how they would, you know, use, you know, you press on your leg to get up, and you didn't, there was a few spots where you had to use your hands to pull yourself up, but for the most part you could, you know, take big steps like you're, you know, coming up two or three steps at a time. And then there was some crisscrossing a little bit to try to, you know, make it a little bit easier getting up. But this lasted for miles, this going up. And my low back started tightening, and I was wishing that I had done more deadlifts to prepare for this. You know, I mean, when I talked about on previous podcasts that, you know, I put the treadmill up to a level 15 at the end of my run and did a couple miles. Well, I'm here to tell you that was not enough. And I, you know, I'm thinking, geez, you know, I had things pulling my, you know, the top of my knee actually pulled a little bit. And I thought, man, you know, I might pull something, you know, because I'm taking such, you know, if you, again, you think about taking three steps at a time, you know, if you're going upstairs rather than just one step at a time. You're stretching out a lot of things. And so, again, my low back was getting a little tight, and I feel the top of my calves, you know, pulling. Things are getting stretched out a little bit. And finally, you started, you know, you got up to the kind of the crest of the first hill and kind of started down the side a little bit. And it's like, oh, I'm so glad to be running down. I don't really like running downhill, but I was relieved to run downhill to get let my back ease up a little bit. And of course, it was my first time running any distance with a hydration pack on as well. Now, I wasn't stupid enough to fill it all the way up. I only put about 30 ounces in it, but still, it was a different feel. So my shoes were trail shoes, a little heavier, pack on my back, a little heavier than I'm used to. But when I started running downhill, it's like, oh, this feels good, you know, not have to be uphill, let my back, you know, ease up. Well, it didn't take very long running down the ski slope type of terrain that I was too steep for me to let go. I just was not experienced enough to let go to plunge down the hill. And so I was holding back, you know, my quads were then, and it didn't take long for my quads to start to burn. And I was trying to do the ski slope thing, you know, when you go left and right to kind of slow yourself down on skis. I was trying to do that a little bit to try to slow myself down. And so it didn't take long before my quads start burning, and I was ready for my back to start. I was ready to go uphill again. You know, I was like, oh, I'll take a tight back over burning quads, you know. So we did that a few times. And then when you come, I think there were five aid stations. And so it was nice to see somebody. And everybody was so friendly, and they had peanut butter and jelly sandwich. They had Newman's O's, which I hadn't had an Oreo or anything like an Oreo for a very long time. And I did eat those, and they were good. No regrets. Had the peanut butter and jelly sandwich, filled my water pack up. I used Huma gels, which are chia seed type gels. And so I went on my way, and they kind of take your number down. So, you know, number 39 got to that aid station, so I guess they could track you down if you got lost. So I kind of felt better about that loss thing that, okay, if I get lost between aid stations, then, you know, they only have a 5-mile radius to kind of look for me. And, you know, so it wouldn't be quite so bad. But anyway. So we started out at, you know, I think, you know, after the second or whatever, and I was going down a grade, and I'm running along, and it's pretty narrow, you know, foot and a half, 2 feet wide, and, you know, kind of hill on both sides, or, you know, it's just kind of running through a rut, so to speak. And I caught my foot And, I mean, it was so quick. I caught my foot. I was on the ground before I knew what hit me, you know, and kind of in a push-up position. And, you know, skinned my knee a little bit. And I just couldn't believe that I did that. You know, what a stupid thing. So I got up and I started running. And probably it wasn't a quarter of a mile further that I did it again. And, again, I didn't really have much in the way, a few choice words, maybe one choice word, before I was on the ground again. And then I was like, okay, so here you are, you know, 13 miles into this, maybe 12 miles into this. You really can't keep falling like this. It's going to get ugly. You know, the same knee scraped again. No real other injuries. And it didn't really hurt. You know, I mean, I was kind of glad, you know, my friends and I refer to it as kind of a bone density test when you fall, you know, as an older person and nothing's broken and you can get back up. It's like, huh, you know, bounced off of that one. So got up and start running. But then I started running a little bit more cautiously because, you know, by that time, I guess my quads were tired enough or tight enough that I just didn't have really good control over where my feet were landing and picking my feet up. So I become more conscious now, make sure I was picking my feet up, slow down, not running without an abandon type of thing when, it, you know, I could. So I became more cautious. So therefore, I slowed down. You know, more than I probably would have liked to have slowed down. So, because I had the misconception that, you know, after I would walk these uphills, but then I could run the downhills. Well, it was, you know, I wasn't really making up any time running the downhills at that point. But the reality of it is that, you know, I'm just happy being there running the Mendocino 50K and experiencing my first ultra. And we'd actually watched some videos the night before and, you know, it's getting us ready and saying, you know, you're going to have to walk a lot of these uphills and it's not going to be as easy as you think. And certainly that did ring true. One of the things that was really beautiful on one of the downhills, there was this opening in the trees that allowed these wildflowers to grow really high, and so you actually ran under a canopy of these yellow wildflowers, and it was kind of like the Tour de France when you're, you know, you see them cresting the top where all the people are in, and it's real narrow. It's like running, you know, literally under, you know, a natural canopy of these green flowers for about 50 yards, which it was probably the most, I don't know, one of the most beautiful things, pieces of scenery that I saw during the race. You come out after a while running in the hills for, you know, 25 miles or so. You come down into the main part of the park before you go up a hill back over to the other side to kind of cross over the road or under the road. And I asked, there was an aid station there, and I asked them, you know, how far to that rope, the rope that I've been thinking about all day. And they said, oh, it's about 3/4 of a mile. Well, it seemed like, a couple miles. The path was so narrow. There were trees in the path to go over, and, you know, to go over a tree when your legs are pretty tired, it was somewhat comical. But got to the top of the rope, and you couldn't see where the bottom of the rope ended, and it was down a kind of a little waterfall behind a bridge. And there was a person at the bottom of the rope steadying it, but you couldn't see her. And so the person at the top said, you know, just stay along the water, and that's the best path. Well, I started that, and quickly I kind of swung out a little bit, having no rappelling experience, and ended up in the bushes, so, you know, I had to right myself. So it was fairly comical. Never was I afraid. It was, I trusted that, you know, this is not this big a deal. Worst case scenario, I hold on the rope and slide on my butt all the way down, but you know, I managed to stay upright, and then when you get to the corner, you kind of change rope positions, and then I could see the person at the bottom, and then it became kind of fairly steep, but I just held on, and it worked. I don't know that I'm going to enter any rock climbing contest. I don't think that that's my next gig, but certainly it was fun doing it for a little bit of time. Maybe I wouldn't mind practicing just a little bit more for the next time. And so then you went down to cross this little stream, about 10 feet across with some water, and then up, straight up the next side that was, you know, this billy goat path that, you know, you had to kind of hold on to roots to get up, and then you ran along the Pacific Ocean. And that was quite beautiful. You're running along literally on the edge of the cliff on this little tiny path, and it was pretty windy, and again, I thought, given the fact that I went down twice, it's like, this is no place to get to go down because the ledge was, you know, right there. So I was pretty cautious running that, you know, at my little slow jog pace. And then you run along the coast and you come, you know, kind of circle the outskirts of the town of Mendocino along the ocean and then go down these set of steps to the beach and run in under under the another bridge and run up the beach to the finish line. So it was a start and finish were at the same spot. And everybody was cheering. It's such a nice, laid-back group. You know, I mean, it was just so many friendly people. And at the finish, there was the burrito tent with all these vegan burritos with, you know, you could make your own beans and rice and pico and avocado and zucchini and roasted red pepper and even tofu. It was funny. One guy was standing there, and he's like, "Is this chicken?" You know, and it's like, "No, it's tofu." So that was kind of funny. But everybody was, very, very happy and stuck around to see other people come in. And really, really nice race. Would I do it again? Yes. Would I do it again next year? I'm not so sure. We like to train and, maybe get some other trail races under our belt so that we could do it better the next time, or at least I could do it better the next time. But certainly am now hooked on trail running and hope to do a lot more of that and meet a lot more people involved in trail running. We were teasing out on the trail. It was, you know, down here in Florida, we've done a few flat trails, but there's, you know, we've seen a few alligators, a few wild pigs, and the wild pigs don't bother me near as much as the alligators and the snakes that are lurking in the water. So I'm not going to be doing much in the way of trails down here in Florida. I'll have to, it'll be a destination training event. The other thing that I would have done, again, is a lot more weight training, deadlifts, squats, step-ups, lunges. I think that would all help prepare somebody that's on the flat land to get more ready for this. But it was, quite a wonderful experience. And the next day, we went out and walked along the Pacific on a beach up in Fort Bragg called the Glass Beach. And it's basically because it was a dump for many, many years up until the 50s. And through the tide coming in, it actually turned all this glass into little soft pebbles. And so it's a quite pretty area, a nature preserve with birds and wildlife there. So that was pretty to walk along and kind of walked our sore legs off a little bit and walked through the gardens at Stanford Inn. So not really bad. I mean, for the most part, trail running's a lot easier on the legs and the body, I think, than road running. Of course, especially when you're going as slow as I was. But, it's a great vacation, and I recommend the destination to everybody. I'd like to thank the online community for, you know, all the support on Instagram and Facebook. And, of course, our membership, we had stuff on Facebook and trying to keep everybody involved as I was doing this. I'm a 24/7 doc, so I talked to anybody that wanted to talk to me during the trip. So it was fun having everybody kind of be a part of the race and watch along. And the idea, you know, is especially, you know, not only for this podcast, but for the membership, is to encourage everybody to be active. And, you know, this race had people of all ages. I think there was actually a woman in her 70s was the oldest finisher, which is unusual. Usually there's an age group with men more than women, but this time an older woman was the oldest person. And, you know, it's never too late to start trail running, or some activity outside, and I'd encourage it. And, plant-based nutrition is the same. You know, sometimes we have conversations with patients and patients' family. It's like, well, you know, my father or I'm in my 80s and it's too late to change, I'm not going to get any benefit. And that's just not so. And actually, some of the quickest benefits come in older individuals when they change their nutrition, because, you know, the body can heal itself at any age. And we've seen some miraculous changes in kidney function and in hemoglobin and overall well-being and wound healing And people that are in their late 80s and early 90s that adopt a plant-based way of eating. You know, anytime you can increase somebody's nutrients, things get better. And I encourage anyone at any age. And it's not, you know, it's not like, okay, we're going to penalize somebody in their 80s and they can't have what they really want. Because I think you have to define what you really want. If you really want to be healthy and live and feel well, then you have to eat well. And there's certainly, you know, it's certainly easy to make plant-based nutrition taste good and, you know, be attractive. Sometimes people, when they're older, lose their sense of taste and nothing really tastes good to them. But, you know, the other question is eating salt and sugar and fat after a while just taste bud numbing? And so when you get that out of their system and they actually start tasting nutrient-dense foods, do things actually start tasting good again? So, you know, I would encourage everybody to try to add more fruit and vegetables to their diet because, again, you get benefit at any age. Like I said before, we were before the race, we were listening to some different ultras and watching some YouTube videos, and we came across a couple called Plant Positive running, and I encourage you to check their website out. They are a couple that does trail running, and we're actually going to have them on the podcast here in a couple weeks. But Gwen is actually going to do a 100-mile run in full firefighter gear. But the positivity of those two running and on plant-based nutrition as well. And, you know, they really show how you can eat very simply. They live in Idaho, so, you know, obviously there's probably not a large access to fresh fruits and vegetables. But, you know, things like going to Costco to get fresh fruit, you know, there's always oatmeal, there's always bananas everywhere. There are always root vegetables everywhere. You can get greens everywhere. So by a simple combinations of these, you know, you can put on pretty quick, easy meals. And, you know, I hope to talk to them more about, you know, their meal preparation because they're quite positive and, that, you know, they show a lot of neat things. But, you know, a lot of people, again, stress over, you know, getting plant-based meals on the table or what are they going to eat? And it can really, really be simple. So, you know, I encourage you not to, you know, I think I say this over and over again, but, you know, don't make it so complicated. You know, have a variety of fruit so you can have that for breakfast with some oatmeal. And then, you know, a big salad for lunch and beans. And, you know, the burrito thing's great. You can make burritos a bunch of different ways. You can make burritos with artichokes and spinach, and you can make burritos with sweet potatoes. You can make burritos with, you know, beans and rice, and or you can just do burrito bowls. Last night we had a white potato, and I made black beans, corn, red peppers, and tomatoes with some lime juice over that and cumin, and we had a kale salad with that. It's real simple, 30 minutes on the table. You know, not a lot of different foods, not a lot of different prep. So it doesn't have to be fancy or take, you know, 20 years to prepare it. It can be good, healthy food. And you know, it didn't take long to prepare, and I had leftovers, so that'll be my lunch today because there was, you know, so much left over because, you know, of how just, you know, cutting up a bunch of kale and peppers and the beans. So there's always, you know, some left for lunch the next day, and it's easy to pack and take with you. I'm also going to take time to shout out to my diabetics in the membership practice because they're doing awesome. We have several people that have gotten off their medication recently, and there's several in the wings that are about ready to completely eliminate their insulin in, you know, less than 3 months. So they're doing fabulous, and it just goes to show you that getting the oil out of your diet, getting the meat and salt out of your diet, increasing your fruits and vegetables and fiber. Adult onset diabetes doesn't have to exist. And, you know, that's a message I'm going to say over and over again, coming from a family that had diabetes on both sides that killed, you know, my grandparents, 3 out of 4 of them. And it's just a sad thing to see anybody with diabetes, especially people getting diabetes at such an early age now.
So changing, you know, changing the way you eat really makes it go away. And, you know, again, the food is simple to prepare. And, there, you know, you just don't want to live with diabetes. You don't want to live with adult onset diabetes. Controlling it with medication is not controlling the side effects, the long-term side effects of diabetes. It's been shown over and over in medication studies that, you know, taking these medications and keeping your glucose under control does not prevent the side effects of diabetes long-term. You've got to really get this high insulin levels in adult onset diabetes down, and decrease the inflammation in your body, and decrease your fat mass and get lean, get it to a normal BMI. And you know, we've really had a lot of success in doing it, and it's just a pleasure, and it's so exciting to work with patients to see them get rid of these diabetic medications that they've been on for such a long period of time and improve their health. Because there's also this paradoxical vasoconstriction in diabetics that, you know, we tell people to go out and eat healthy and exercise. Well, it actually hurts to exercise with diabetes because their blood vessels actually constrict when they start to exercise instead of dilate. It's called a paradoxical vasoconstriction, and lots to do because of the vascular changes with diabetes. And so as you start to eat plant-based and start to eat these greens with nitric oxide, that starts to change and they can exercise. So there's not only, you know, do the numbers get better, but your overall sense of well-being gets so much better. So, you know, I encourage anybody that wants to get off their medication, and, you know, if their doctor's saying they can't, that's not true. They can find a plant-based doctor that can help you. And certainly we have online programs if you're not in the state. And we have full programs if you're not in the state that we'd love to help you get off your diabetic medication. So check out the website at drdulaney.com. It's drdulaney for more information. You can call, talk to you on the phone about how, you know, what plan would be good for you if you want us to help you. Again, Addie Delaney Minerich is my registered dietitian. She works with me, and, you know, we team up with you to help you reverse your diabetes and get off your medication, you know. And that's the same way for cholesterol medication and heart medication as well, because it's just it's diet related. And so I love to help you. You know, autoimmune disease, you know, everything. The side effect is all these lifestyle diseases get better when you change. It's not that easy. It needs some guidance, and of course, you know, getting rid of these medications. They can't just be stopped. They need to be titrated down, but more than happy to help you. And it's, you know, really been a practice changer for me, and I can't tell you how much I enjoy it. So, you know, check out the website. You can give me an email at Jamie, J-A-M-I, at drdulaney.com as well. You can also follow us, you know, on Instagram, Jamie Delaney, and Naturally Rooted Nutrition. Addie's on Instagram as well, and you can see her website, Naturally Rooted Nutrition, to follow her blog. She writes a lot of blog posts that are quite informative, so check those out. We also have a monthly newsletter. If you'd like to sign up, get some free recipes, you can do that on the website. We love to share with you what we eat, because it's tasty and it's not that hard to prepare. And the Delaney ladies love to cook, and we're in the process of trying to get a little Delaney ladies cookbook out so that you can see what goes on this Irish Italian family's kitchen table on a daily basis. So love to have you there. Got home to a garden that's flourishing. Tomatoes are just growing everywhere in raised beds in the tower garden. We have all different kinds of varieties. It was funny, again, we threw this compost in this raised bed, and it's springing up all kinds of things. Sweet potatoes are growing. White potatoes are growing. Basil is doing well still. Cilantro is slowing down a little bit. We've got peppers, hot peppers, bell peppers growing, poblano peppers growing. So that's all exciting. Fruit trees are coming back. They got nailed pretty good by our few days of cold, so I don't know that we're going to have much fruit. Few mangoes, a little avocado tree is doing well, so we'll see. You know, got to be patient and give these little things time to grow. So, you know, we're enjoying getting ready for summer down here. The ultra marathon is over, so now it's on to Ironman training for me. So it'll be back to the pool pretty soon, and back to the bike. We're going to start biking this weekend, so I have to ramp that up. I think as much as I love running, I think it's my favorite sport. The biking and swimming keeps me balanced, keeps me less likely to get injured, and of course I'll go back to the weight training thanks to my Georgia State weight training coach. Shout out to Nathan Meinrich. He's gives his mother-in-law some workouts on the side and helps me out. So, you know, he's a great asset and has a tremendous knowledge base to try to keep me straight. So, if I pay attention to Nathan, I'll do just fine in my weight training for Ironman Chattanooga. So, anyway, I hope that you all are doing well and eat plant-based. And like I said, if you have any questions, give us an email at jamie@drdelaney.com or addie@drdelaney.com. We'd love to hear from you and look forward to speaking with you next week.